We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, how do you handle complaints? Well, I want to just tell you, Moses had to become an expert. After they crossed the Red Sea, it wasn't 3 days until the people started complaining. And guess what happens in Numbers chapter 10 and 11? It says in chapter 10, verse 33, "So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days." Skip down to chapter 11, verse 1. "Now when the people started complaining..." This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and we're going to look into those complaints today, and we hope you'll join, and I hope it will help you to say, you know, I'd better be careful how much I complain, because it cost a few folks quite a price. Alex, again, Numbers, we're getting into, I would say, some just very interesting and teaching moments in the book of Numbers here. And so I think people can hold on and maybe learn something even for 2025, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you on Exploring the Word today. Bert, great to be in Numbers chapter 11. And hey, as we get into the Word, I've got to give a praise to God. July 1 is a very special day to me. Do you know why?
Is this the day you started years ago?
On American Family Radio.
I thought I remembered that. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Praise God. July 1, 2009. I had gotten a call from a man named Jim Stanley, who would become a great friend. And then I got a call from a man named Tim Wildman, who would become a great friend. And yes, it was July 1 of 2009 that I first had the privilege of being on the radio with the American Family Radio Network. And all these years on live 5 days a week, and I give God the glory. And it is just such an honor to open God's Word on these airwaves. And I know many, many people pray and give, and we've seen folks get saved. We've seen revival come in a lot of lives, and I just want to be on record acknowledging this very special day to me and how gracious God is to let me be a part of the American Family Radio Network.
Well, I joined you 2 years later in 2011 after Marvin Sanders. Well, first, it was cause of illness, and I came on board kind of helping out. And then he his home going, and they said, "Bert, why don't you do it with Alex?" And now, Alex, it's just been a joy since 2000, and I would say 2012, close to that, right after that's when I became permanent. So it's been great to be with you, and we've gone through the books of the Bible. We've done special studies, but for some way, we missed Numbers along the way. I don't know exactly how that happened. But I just
maybe because I was so poor at math in school, Numbers, maybe that name kind of threw me off.
Oh, man. Yeah, you threw it away. But let me just share. We're going to start in chapter 11, but I do think we need to look at the 33 through 36 because there's some praise here of what Moses did. Let me read that. I've read part of it, but I'm going to read it again. Verse 33. "So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was," now listen to this, "whenever the Ark set out, that Moses said, 'Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you.' And when it rested," this is what Moses said, "'Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel.'" Notice, now in the English language, you can't help but notice, "rise up and return." That's not, I think I could do a message on those two words, Alex, yeah. Those two phrases. Rise up, O Lord. Listen, let you go before us. And yes. Return, O Lord. We're resting here. We stopped here. Return. Make your settlement here and dwell among us. Mm-hmm. So, Alex, this was Moses' prayer, but it wasn't long till complaints started happening in chapter 11, was it?
Well, that's true. You know, Bert, I think about this when I was young in the ministry, and I was a youth pastor, but I frequently would be called on to preach or even lead the morning worship services. And seriously, one thing you've got to learn as a young minister is when to tell the people to rise up and stand and when to say, you may be seated. I mean, seriously, because like when maybe the offering plates come to the front and you're going to pray over the offering, and then if you don't say, you may be seated, everybody kind of looks around, and here and there they begin to sit down. And I know Moses was crying out, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. But there's something about the people of God rising up, all rise, you know, as we worship the Lord and acknowledge the Lord. And let me just say, when it comes to revival, we need to pray for the Spirit of God to move in the church, and that the church would arise in the power
Amen.
And the message of God. But, you know, the ark was going forward, and I think many, many of the people could see that. They had their eyes on what was their source of power and the presence of God. And I think we need to have our eyes on a number of incredible realities. One, that Jesus rose from the dead, and the tomb is empty. And he's given his great commission, and the Spirit of God has come, and the church is indwelt and empowered. And then we keep our eyes on the fact that the Lord is coming back, and one day that eastern sky will open up. And so the Lord goes before us, the Lord goes with us, and we are to, in his power and with his message and mandate, we are to rise up confidently, aren't we?
We really are. And when we do that, we're on the right track. And again, in chapter 11, it says, when the people complain, now listen to this, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it. His anger was aroused. Now listen to this. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Now, this fire that was such a blessing at night, here it is, consuming those that were complaining on the outskirts of the camp. They just, we don't know who all that was. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord. Here he is as an intercessor. The fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Tab-Arai, I can't say it correctly, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now, Alex, again, Moses, the intercessor, I haven't counted how many times it's recorded that he did this, but it's again and again and again, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, here's the thing. Let me read this, that, you know, the people complained, they were ungrateful. And the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire was quenched, because it says the Lord burnt among them the fire of the Lord and consumed them. Okay, verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Now, we know that God gave them bread in the wilderness, you know, bread from heaven, manna, which interestingly means, what is it? Because, you know, they weren't for sure what it was. But here's the thing. God was providing all their needs, and they weren't grateful. Bert, I'm going to say this. I'm going to throw it to you. In verse 4, the mixed multitude fell. The wording means craving or lusting. They were consumed for, you know, really lusting for what they didn't have. And the fire of the Lord consumed them. So they got consumed, and they got consumed, you know.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at that, but it is something how that did reverse. It reversed them. Go ahead.
And but they were lamenting in verse 5 what they had in Egypt. Okay, fish and onions and you know, leeks and garlic. But may I remind you, they were slaves. Yep. And they would rather have slavery and at least the food they wanted rather than to be free in Christ and have to follow and trust the Lord.
They remembered the food and forgot the slavery. Sometimes the good old days were not quite as good as we would remember, Alex. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here. Don't y'all remember when? You know? And, man, how many times as a pastor I've heard that from people visiting them and what they'd say, I remember when. And, yeah, there's some great things, but I want to tell you, God is the God. He is the I am that I am, not the I was, not the I will be, but I am. And here he had fed them manna daily, just like we're to consume the word of God daily. It was food for them. And so this is nothing except the manna before our eyes. What God was giving them as just free grace, I mean, freely given. And so here it is. They're complaining. And this is, again, matter of fact, Alex, and you got to remember this. I mentioned it. 3 days after they was praising God at the Red Sea for his deliverance, 3 days later, they're in a situation where they, guess what, start complaining. There's something about that time frame of testing. Okay, Mount Sinai, we're at home here. Yeah, this is good. But 3 days later, well, sometimes 3 days later comes with good, the resurrection. But here, the complaining started. And now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bedlam. And people went out and gathered it, ground it into millstones, or beat it into the mortar, cooked it in pans, made cakes, taste like the taste of pastry prepared for oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Now, Alex, here it is, a description, and look what all they could do with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
You know, I found that amazing. That's creative kitchen. They found out they could do more than just pick it up and eat it. They could grind it. They could do this. So
yes.
God, I don't think that's boredom, you know, but
well,
they were.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you have in verse 7? The manna was, does it say coriander seed?
Coriander seed, yes.
So I looked that up. I wonder what that was because, Bert, when you were in Israel, did you ever have maybe at breakfast this spread? It kind of looks like peanut butter, but it's called tahini. Did you have that?
I don't remember, Alex. I don't.
Tahini is made of sesame seeds. It's actually really good and supposedly super-duper healthy. But I didn't know if coriander was like that. But I read this. It said, coriander has a sharp, fresh taste that is warm, nutty, and slightly citrusy. The flavor makes it versatile for various dishes, from desserts to breads to even soups. And sometimes it says people would toast and grind the coriander seed and just eat the toasted seeds. But you're right. And then there was this color of bdellium, which is a gum. But the people, they were able to make a whole lot of different things out of it, not just bread, but cakes. And the dew fell on the night, every night, and the manna with it. They could have been grateful, I suppose.
They should have, again. The good old days. Oh, man, part of that I can't get over. You know, they were missing the garlic and the leeks. I think I'd be glad to be away from that. But anyway, hey, we're going to be back with more of Numbers chapter 11 here on Exploring the Word. Don't go away.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. So honored that you're listening. And we are in the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 11. If you want to get a Bible and follow along with us, we're going to pick it up at about verse 10. So the children of Israel are in the wilderness. God is protecting them. God is feeding them and providing for them. But let's be honest, our human hearts can be very fickle. God is giving manna, which... Bert, I have to ask, are we going to get to taste it in heaven? You think we'll have any manna in heaven?
I hope so. I always wondered what it was like. And
I did too.
Yeah. Taste of pastry prepared with oil? That sounds like it could be good to me.
Talking about food in heaven, on two occasions, the Lord Jesus cooked broiled fish for the disciples.
That's true.
And I love fish. So, if Jesus cooked it, it was the best that ever was eaten.
That's right.
But verse 10, Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. I'm sorry to laugh, but...
Well, okay, I got to ask. Okay, since he's displeased and they've been complaining, do you think Moses is about to start complaining?
Well, he is, and basically, in verse 11 of Numbers 11, Moses kind of says to the Lord, "What did I do to deserve?" Moses said unto the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in your sight, that thou lay on me the burden of all this people upon me?" In other words, God, I've served you, and you've put me in charge of this griping, complaining mass of people. Verse 11 is kind of the anguished cry of a man who is stressed out.
It is. Now, I think he could say, "Lord, we could handle Pharaoh, we could handle the plagues, but I can't handle these people." And I've heard this, Alex: if it wasn't for people, life would be a breeze.
Well, that's true. And what's interesting, verse 12, he asks this question: "Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father bears the sucking child unto the land which you swear unto their fathers?" In other words, these are not my kids to raise. That's kind of what Moses is saying. And whence should I have flesh to give these people? For they weep unto me, saying, "Give us flesh that we may eat." This manna isn't good enough for us. And he's saying, I don't have the means to go get meat to feed 2 million people. I'm not able to bear all these people alone.
Amen.
For it is too heavy for me.
Now, that is a true statement, Alex. There it is. We're not able to bear the burdens of our own, much less everyone else's. Praise the Lord for God, the burden bearer, helper.
Well, my heart really aches here for Moses because, he's kind of at the end of his rope. Verse 15, "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness." He's basically saying, "Lord, if this is my lot in life, if this is what I'm called to do, you might as well take my life, and don't let me live to just kind of implode or fail you." And I truly think this is what Thomas More would have called the dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
Moses is desperate here, isn't he?
He is. So what does God do? God meets him at his need. So what does he do? Over in the book of Galatians chapter 6, it has about bear your own burdens, and then it says help bear the burdens of others. There are some burdens that are yours and yours alone. Listen, we can't help it. You can't help that addiction that person has. They got the addiction. You can't take it away from them. You can't do this. But there are some burdens that we can share. So what does God do? So I love the first word of verse 16. So after God heard Moses, he loved Moses. He cared for Moses. He said, "So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Now, you got to go back to verse 14. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Alex, you know, this is so true with people. This is so true. And God always sent his Jesus, when he was sending the apostles out, his disciples out, he would send them two by two. And there's reasons for all that. And not being alone, it's a tough task to try to bear it all yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And really, this is good leadership, you know, to to delegate. And Bert, I remember I got some books by John Maxwell about leadership and team building, and then I got other, you know, business books. I was trying to learn how to lead and structure. And when you've got like the 70 men, the elders, and then you've got this kind of, I guess you might say, trellis, if you would, of, you know, leaders at one level and leaders at another level and delegation and lines of authority, well, you've got the ability to manage countless multitudes of people and tasks, and that way, it's not all just on one person. And more than a few business books have noted how things like delegation comes right out of the Bible, and which, not surprising.
Again and again, even Jesus with his apostles, when you look at it, he had four different groups, and they were all numbered in threes. Now, the three would be changed up sometime, but then he would take three to pray with him. And so these are important things that you see here. But notice verse 18 after this.
Oh, yes.
Then, and look at verse 16, and I'm always looking at the first word of a verse now, and I know they weren't numbered like that, but it's a word, a little transition. So I've done this, and you bring them to me, then you shall say to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. Now, Alex, sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Now, what have they been doing? That's what they needed to do because, listen, they had, you know, they'd been at the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses had been up, you know, receiving the commandments and so forth. But here, responsibility that God's going to do this, but you've got some responsibility yourself as well. Do you see that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got to point something out in verse 18 that we kind of forget. It says, who shall give us flesh to eat, meaning meat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Okay, verse 18. And I looked up W-E-L-L. The word well meant merry, M-E-R-R-Y, like we were merry in Egypt. We were happy in Egypt. It was well with us in Egypt. Well, according to Exodus 2:23, the people cried out to God in Egypt. And I guess my point is how quickly we forget things. Just because they weren't satisfied with what God was providing, they were saying, oh, back in Egypt we were happy, we were merry. No, they were crying out to God to save us. Now let me just say this. I hear a lot about revival, and we need a revival. We need a Holy Spirit revival in America. Maybe you feel like you need a touch from God just personally in your own life. When we cry out to God, we have to let God define what the future needs to look like. We need for God to define what revival looks like. And the people had cried out to God. God had responded. But they didn't like what God was doing, although what God was doing was absolutely for their best.
Amen, Alex. I love also in verse 18, therefore. Okay? Therefore, after you've complained, you don't like this, you've asked for this, I'm going to give you, therefore the Lord will give you meat. And I'm going to add something, and more meat, and more meat and more meat, and you shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, not 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it becomes out your nostrils, becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did he ever come up out of Egypt? You know, sometimes God's punishment is giving us what we ask for. Okay? And here it is. We want meat. They're going to get meat until it becomes loathsome to them. So, Alex, I really do believe, okay, Lord, there's nothing wrong adding in our prayers. And I don't think it's a weakness. I do not think it's an excuse, if it be your will. You know, I've heard people, oh, that's an out in case God doesn't give it to you. I want to tell you, I know it's not a Christian song, but there's some truth in it. Thank God for unanswered prayers, you know.
Yeah.
And that is so true. Here, we want meat. Well, you're going to get it and more of it.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to, we pray. And I'm with you, Bert. I don't think it's a lack of faith at all to say, Lord, your will be done. Lord, I'm you know, making a petition for this or that, if it be your will. Because very often in life, I know in my own case, man, I've had some things that I just, at the moment, felt like I was really sure about. And then I begin to realize that, you know, God had something better for me. And sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord. But basically, Numbers goes along, and, you know, Moses asked the people, you know, the flocks and the herds, shall I kill for them? Or should all the fish of the sea be gathered together to, verse 22, it says, to suffice them, really to placate them. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him. And interestingly, verse 25, took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Okay, Bert, I want to make sure we get this. The Spirit of God was heavily, thoroughly, completely on Moses. And yet, that very same anointing and Spirit of God comes on the 70 elders for this work and this ministry, doesn't it?
It really does. And again, the last part of it in verse 25 in the New King James says, although they never did so again. I could not help but think, you know, this is a sign, the Spirit of the Lord, Pentecost, and, you know, and what happened each time when they were in Samaria and the gospel was introduced and the Holy Spirit came upon them, they had the same experience as they did in Jerusalem. And then later on, when it came upon the Gentiles in Ephesus, the same experience they had. And here they have this phenomena of the Holy Spirit of God coming upon them. They were 70, but two of them stayed back. We don't know why they stayed in the camp. It gives their name, Eldad and Medad, and but the Spirit rested upon them as well. And Joshua kind of has a problem with that.
Right.
This is the third time we've met Joshua in this. We didn't know. If we were reading this and not knowing what takes place later, we'd wonder about this Joshua, you know? But we're going to find out what kind of man he is in chapters 13 and 14 later on. But again, these two, they prophesied as well. I was trying to figure that out. Is there a message in that? Well, I think there is. The Spirit of God gives who he desires to, you know, Alex, he determines that, does he not?
Well, you know, this is so fascinating because, you know, when Jesus came, Jesus fulfilled everything. I mean, there was so much in the Old Testament that hinted at the messianic work of Jesus. And of course, you know, Jesus was the embodiment and personification. And sometimes you and I have talked about what's called typology. Okay, the Spirit of God falls. This is a big outpouring of the Spirit, and all these young men prophesied. Joshua says, "My Lord Moses forbid them." And Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets." Now, do you remember back in Mark chapter 9, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "We saw someone casting out demons in your name, but we forbid him because he was not part of our group or didn't follow us." And Jesus said, you know, don't forbid, because if somebody's not against me, they're for me. Doesn't that kind of echo this?
It does, Alex. Great call. That's good. I had not thought of that, but it's exactly good work.
Praise God. Verse 29, Moses basically says to Joshua, look, you don't have to be jealous of the role I've got. And it's almost like, I appreciate it, Joshua, but look, you don't have to defend me. I'm still Moses. These people are prophesying. As far as I'm concerned, I wish the Holy Spirit of God was on all these people and they would prophesy. And then, of course, 11 wraps up. A great wind brings all these quail. The people want meat. Well, they get it.
They get it.
God said, my hand can provide this. And indeed, the strong hand of God did.
3 feet deep. They got it.
And
verse 33, undo it. Before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people again because of who they were and what they were doing. Listen, that phone number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 27:4.
American Family Radio.
I've tried to run from Jesus. I've started holy wars. I've tried the patient waiting and the kicking down the doors. I've cursed his name in anger with my fist raised to the sky. And in return, all he's ever been is kind.
Amen. That's our Lord. When you see numbers and see how he responds in chapter 12, you want to read ahead tomorrow, chapter 12. We're going to find out Moses' brother and sister. I think there's jealousy there and complaining there. You want to read ahead, but in the end, he is kind. He really is. That's our God. He is kind. Mm-hmm. Alex, we're going to take phone calls. That number, and we've got lines that are open, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to have your Bible question today, and also we'd love to have prayers. Tuesday is a day of prayer, and we started this before the election, and we've continued doing that. So if you've got prayer requests, we want to join you and pray for you and pray for the situation. But if you also have a Bible question, we'd love to take that question as well. So, Alex, are you ready to go to the phone calls?
Let's do it. We're going to begin in Oklahoma. Is this Rinal? Rinal?
This is Rinal. Yeah, is that right? Very good.
Hey, welcome.
I'm glad you took my call. Hey, I was curious. Was there a reason? Were the Israelites told not to kill any of their animals to eat so that they didn't have, because they didn't have food in the wilderness?
Okay, good question. I was reading about that, Alex, and honestly, I think there was reasons for it, you know, that they didn't necessarily have grazing and everything. They had to take care of the animals that they brought with them so they would have them when they came into the promised land. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, exactly. And also, let me just say that when Jesus is going to provide, sometimes you have to wait and trust him, but he will provide. And, you know, the flocks, some of it was for sacrificing, and some of it was going to go on, and no doubt on that 40-year journey, the livestock multiplied, and I don't know a better way to say it, but they didn't have to hurt themselves, you know. They didn't have to really hurt themselves, because God, for 40 years, miraculously fed them in the wilderness, and he didn't want them to diminish what they had, you know, because he was going to provide for them. I'll put it this way, and Bert, you feel free to correct me if I'm taking this too far. When it comes to things like tithing, you can trust God with your finances. Now, it might be it stretches you, and it might be a step of faith, but to live by faith and to live obediently, you can trust God because he will provide.
I think there's truth in that again and again. I've observed it, seen it, experienced it. Yes, that is. Let me say one other thing. They did not have vegetables. Notice the things that they missed in Egypt. A large part of that was vegetables. God gave them manna, which would meet all their, and again, this has to do with your diet. It would meet all the dietary requirements. If they just ate meat, it would not do that. And so the manna was a provision for them that met that need completely, Alex. Just mm-hmm. like Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, the manna, he meets that spiritual need completely. So I think there's truths in that, but I think there's practicality in it as well.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you very much. We're going to go to Jay in Texas. Jay, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, I wanted to know, Alex, what you thought about Ezekiel's war, where it fits into the events of the end times, and if anything, about what's going on now.
Okay,
well,
great
question.
Alex, yes.
Yeah, and Bert and I have a book coming out in September on 100 Bible questions on prophecy and the end times, and that will be made in a special, special way. It'll be made available to everybody. Before it ever gets to the bookstores, it's going to be available in the fall share-a-thon. And I got to tell you, I've never been more excited about something. It's very timely.
Amen.
All right. Ezekiel 38 and 39 basically says that the nations of the Arabian Peninsula will arraign themselves against Israel in the last days and ultimately are going to be helped in their attack on Israel by Russia and China. Now, I got to tell you, if you look at Iran and Syria and all these nations, and then even if Iran doesn't have nuclear capabilities, there's been rumored in the news that other nations, maybe China among them, help and Russia helping Iran have nuclear capabilities against Israel. Boy, it sounds like the Bible right up and down. But I want to say this, Bert, you said something years ago that I think is so appropriate. And look, I believe in Bible prophecy, and Jesus is coming back. But you said, we are not on the planning committee, we're on the welcoming committee.
Amen, yeah.
And I will grant you, things in the Middle East look incredibly tenuous, and there is the temptation to say, I got it, we've cracked the code. I don't know. What I know, where my heart is right now, is we got to get as many people saved as God will help us to do. But it does, I'll say this, and I thought to you, we need to have our house in order because the Middle East is irretrievably organizing itself to look like what Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel seem to portend. And so the time to be right with God and to help others get right, we're in that day.
We really are. It fits. Let me just share this, Jay. It fits, but we've had other times that things have fit as well, and it wasn't quite there. If this is not it, this is a preview of it. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But it does fit in God's plan. Even though we, as Alex just did a great job, we know some of the basics. And when you start the minutia, I just want to tell you, I believe God knows the minutia, and I think he's revealed some of it to us. But I still think he'll never be surprised. Alex, I think we'll still be surprised. You remember when they were praying for Peter to be released And yeah. they went to the door, and they were shot. Now, I believe they was praying in faith. I don't think it was anything. Oh, no. But they were still shocked that God would do it. And we serve a great God, and so we can trust him. Hey, Amen. Jay, thank you for that great question. Where to next, Alex?
Let's go to Debbie in California. Debbie, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I plan my day around listening to you both.
God bless you.
You all had actually prayed for my daughter in Florida about a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, Debbie.
Her name is Ashley. I never did give you her name, but her name is Ashley. And I'm calling again for prayer for her and her husband. They have traveled. They are setting out in an impromptu traveling from Florida to San Francisco and back because her uncle, who had a double lung transplant back in October, he is in the hospital, and they got word that he's going in the septic shock. And I don't know about his salvation, and I don't. And so this is a two-part prayer request for his salvation, for my daughter, still her salvation, and her husband Miguel, okay. and
Miguel.
And their travel mercies. Yes,
okay.
Ashley Miguel are traveling, and they don't even have any plans. They just set out, and so they're heading from Florida to San Fran, and then back to Florida, and
Those of you who are listening, write this down. Pray for it. This needs to be more than just this program. Write their names down in the next few days. This is what I do, and I'll leave it on my desk, and then I see those, and I pray for them. It reminds me. And, Alex, we're praying for safety, but we're also praying for safety and salvation. Those are two pretty good S's, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, thank you for sharing that. And Bert, would you pray for Debbie's needs?
Father, I thank you for Debbie. I thank you for her arranging her day so she could be a part of this Bible study, Father. And I pray you would bless her. And I know her heart is hurting right now, but it's also weeping. And Father, I pray for Ashley and Miguel right now, God. Where they're traveling, you know where they are, you know what they need. I pray, God, that you would help them along their journey. It's all the way across the country. I pray, God, that they would be brought into contact with some believers along the way. It may be at a mealtime. It may be at a time at a station where they're getting gas or getting snacks. Father, whatever it might be, I pray that there'd be a word fitly spoken that you would use to bring them to a awareness of your love for them and care for them and the desire for them to know you. I pray for this uncle, God. I pray that he would come to know you. I pray that you would bring people into his life right where he is. I've seen it happen dozens of times, Father. Individuals in hospitals, but people who are believers in that ministry, in that help, bring a word to them that would challenge them, help them. And I'm praying for this and believing it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well said. Well said. Thank you for sharing that. And by the way, the number is 888-589-8840. Christopher in Texas. Christopher, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I had a question. I don't know how to properly address you. I'm sorry. In Corinthians, I think it's 6:9-11, it says, in the New King James Version, it says no homosexual, and then it gives, unless you get right. But in the old King James Version, it gives, it says effeminate. So I was just wondering if you could tell me the original translation of that text.
Okay. Alex, have you looked at I don't have it before me. What
That word is arsenikoite. And it basically, where the Bible says regarding men and women, marriage is honorable in all things and the bed undefiled. Well, the translation of the word the bed, meaning a husband, wife, heterosexual monogamy, is the word koite, which means sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife. Now, in the 1 Corinthians 6, passage, 1 Corinthians 6:9, arsenikoite is a word, a Greek word that means homosexual sex between men. And now the King James rendered that word, they rendered the word effeminate, but it's basically a man using his body for something that should be done by a female. I know this is base stuff here. Here's the reason I bring this up, and I want to give two resources. One is a book by M.D. Perkins called Dangerous Affirmation, and it was published a couple of years ago. It's a great book about an analysis and refutation of gay-affirming theology. So in other words, the M.D. Perkins book, Dangerous Affirmation, is supporting what the Bible says and critiquing what the world says. Another website of a great colleague I worked with at Focus on the Family, Ann Edwards, is called Restored Hope Network. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because there are those that would say the 1 Corinthians 6, the Leviticus passages, that the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality, but the Bible does. And so, folks, do not be misled. Please do not be misled by those that would twist, contort, and deny Scripture. And there are those that would say, well, the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality. All right, the Bible says anyone can be saved. Promiscuous heterosexuals can be saved. Those who engage in homosexuality can be saved. But we have to repent. But yes, the 1 Corinthians 6:9 and all the other scriptures, Romans 1 and 2, Bert, God designed sexual activity to be between a husband and wife,
Amen.
A man and a woman, and no other context and no other genders.
And it's also to be held in honor in marriage, not yeah. before marriage. Hey, Alex, we got some prayer requests. Is it all right to go to Scott in Texas?
Let's do that.
Yeah,
okay.
Scott, what's your prayer? Do it quickly as you can,
Scott?
So we get to others. Scott, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Howdy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I have a praise. I'm a born-again Christian, and God healed me from alcohol, and I'm celebrating a year this month.
Woo!
Of being
congratulations.
From alcohol, and he's healed my marriage and my family.
Amen.
Second thing is I've been unemployed for a year and a half, and I do desire to work and provide for my family, and I've been praying and seeking his face to provide me with his choice of a good job so that I can help put my kids through college and take care of my family.
Pray for Amen. Scott. Write that down. Amen. Alex, let's try to get one more before we go.
James in Alabama.
Yeah. James, go
quickly.
Ahead.
Okay, yeah. If y'all would just pray for my family, especially my mother. They called me just a few minutes ago from the nursing home, and they're having to move her to hospice, and I would appreciate the prayer.
We will, sure. James. Thank you, man. Jenny, we would love to have gotten to yours yeah. today, but let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help Scott find that job. I pray for James, for his mom, as she is transferred to hospice. May you be close. May you encourage. May you bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Alex, it's been a good day, brother.
It's been a real good day, folks. This is Exploring the Word. We thank you for listening. Hey, as we near July 4th, pray for our country. Tell someone about our show, but tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.